You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, third hour. It's S Day. I guess we could do S Day for about 3 days, couldn't we, Mr. Matthew?
There's a lot of them, but yeah, definitely do it for two or three days.
And I didn't even post anything on Facebook asking for input. I just got distracted. So I'll do it. I'll probably do it later today. And we'll probably do S's on our alphabet of bump music throughout the rest of the week. Remember, Friday, it's the big Wake Up Tucson 27th Annual Pizza Summit. The pizza throwdown for Tucson Originals is Saturday. And so Rocco's going to be here. But then I also have Susan from the Gluten Free Girls is going to bring us a gluten free pizza. We're going to try that. The folks from Trident Pizza are going to be here. And then hopefully we can maybe get Matt or Devin from Tio Zio Pepe and Fresco to stop by. And we're just going to be doing a pizza hour on. So bring your comfy pants, Matt. It's going to be pretty rocking. Matt Russell is going to be sitting in with us, and McCluskey will be there during the day. So Pizza Summit Friday, that also starts with S, just like, you know, Sesame Street or the Electric Company. Good morning to Steve, also starts with an S. Farley, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, and just the thought of that much pizza for breakfast makes me want to be here Friday.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. None of you can just show up. Barney, stay home. Now, I got my my giant thing of dog food here. Patty, I told Patty it was my Bidenflation diet now. I eat this like crunch berries.
Well, that would work. The problem is that dog food is also going way, way up. You can get a bag of that for $60 now.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not your father's dog food anymore.
Wow. I mean, even Old Roy's up to $5 a bag, I saw.
I know. There you go. That used to be 50 cents.
Old Roy, now with 60% more wood chips.
So can I bring that back?
Yes, that's for
Excellent.
You.
Excellent. Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's a donator for the kids.
And we are very grateful whenever we get donations of food.
No, it worked out. My wife's like, we should donate this to the Humane Side. I said, this is yesterday. I go, oh, yeah. Perfect. My dog food mule is going to be here, Steve Farley, to do
nice.
An interview.
So, excellent. Good timing. Appreciate it.
So, again, I've seen you guys handing this food out over on 29th in between a couple of the apartments over there when I head east after the show. And so when things get expensive, I mean, things are unbelievable. I mean, it's five. I got gas at the QT on Craycroft and River.
Yeah.
The lower foothills where Joe Higgins lives, right? It was $4.99 a gallon. Okay. Mm. So I'm just telling you, I assume the dogs and cats suffer when such things
happen.
They
do. We have the food giveaways for dog and cat food every the first Sunday of every month. It's at 7 a.m. now in the summer months.
Okay.
And the line goes, we have give it away in the south end of our property, which is a very long parcel, and it goes all the way up our property, out the gate, and out west on Roger, all the way past Fairview.
Yeah.
When there's enough people and you see that increase, it's an easy way to see how much economic pain people are in, to see what the lines are like.
Correct.
And I've seen the same stuff, and I was going by St. Demetrius on Sunday. They had the giveaway for the food boxes for
That's up for sale if you want to buy it.
St. Demetrius is?
Yes.
Oh, man.
They're pulling out.
Oh, geez.
Pliskin Acres is a little too much for them. They're out.
Wow.
You know what it is? They still haven't been able to rebuild that sanctuary that burned down or whatever's going on.
Oh, that's
so
too bad.
And they had that sweet piece of dirt that Chuck, they sold the Chuck. Is that what happened, Matt? They sold that piece on River to Chuck? Is that how it worked? He bought it off of them?
Well, that was a couple years ago. That was at some floodplain, a strip of their land that was floodplain property that the county bought.
Oh, that's right. Okay, thank you, sir. So
had a lot of money. A
lot of money. Anyway, so they're looking at moving up. You know, if you look at I think they're looking at their zip codes of people, and a lot of them live north of River. Mm-hmm. And let's get closer. And I think that building's getting old. So, but anyway, St. Demetrius up for sale. If the Humane Society want to do it.
There you go. I think we're all right with our parcel on 22nd and Wilmot right now.
Now you're building something new, right?
Well, at 22nd and Wilmot, you know, that's our thrift store.
Yep.
Which is the best thrift store in town now.
I was with Higgins that day. It's pretty solid.
Phenomenal place. And actually, we've got a bunch of adult trikes out there if you want to pick up a nice, sweet deal on an adult trike right now. Kind of fun to, like, take around your acreage and do some gardening with it.
Adult tricycles?
Yes, adult tricycles. They actually come out of the warehouse for home goods because they do go around and do the pick and whatever they call it and put them in the basket. And so they gave them all, a bunch of us, to us. So we got them sitting out front. Never know what you're going to find at the thrift store. But the coolest thing about the thrift store, and people should know, this is the last week we're going to be open before next week we're going to shut down, so that we can revamp the entire thrift store. And opening July 5th, we're going to have adoptions 4 days a week, and we're going to have low-cost vaccination clinics every Wednesday from 2 to 4:30.
Oh, cool.
And there are no low-cost vaccination clinics on the east side until we open up on July 5th. So that'll be keeping going. And then in August, once we have another vet coming in, we're going to be able to get two or three times a week, get out there for the low-cost vax clinics, because that can get really expensive, and you want to make sure your pups and kittens are protected. And then we'll be able to be right there doing it all the time. And the adoptions will be great. We're creating these new kennels inside the store that are like out of giant Legos. They're like these purple and white plastic blocks, and you build them just like Legos, only they're huge.
Right.
And we're creating the kennels where when the dogs are up there for adoptions, you can hang out there and play with them while you're doing.
So basically, can you that? You know, I have maybe some people, when people start coming back in the office, we can start building their cubicles out of the big Lego blocks.
Absolutely, and they can change it around anytime you want. And that's actually a lot of fun.
I bet.
Yeah.
That's good the stuff. Adult Lego fantasy camp, as we say. Yep.
And we've been so overwhelmed with people bringing in amazing stuff to the thrift store that we can't even get through it all. So that week we need to really spend digesting all the stuff we've gotten so far digest.
What's intake looking like for you guys right now in relation to unwanted dogs, lost dogs, cats? What's that part looking like?
It's not that different from what it is usually in the peak of summer. I mean, that's what
higher or lower
right
in the
now,
summer?
In the summer, it gets much higher because it's kitten season. There's a lot of cats out there having litters right now, and we see a lot of them come in to our gates. So we always see the bump this time of year. It starts in May. It really goes through the roof in June, and then starts to ease up in late July. So that's part of why we push so hard for this TNR program of the trap, neuter, release for the cats, so we don't have that many kittens born out there.
I gotta find I don't know if I send it to you. If I did, you being here remind me, one of the listeners, the last time you were on, we were talking about our new reality show we're working on.
Yeah
right. And they have a child that wants to do elder, that I gotta find it. They actually want to do they're interested in doing your live cat traps.
Nice. Well, come on out. Because we got that great crew that comes out on Trapping Thursdays. And we go to different neighborhoods, a lot of trailer parks, because the cats love going under the trailers.
We got Taco Tuesdays.
Trapping Thursdays.
Pizza
Fridays.
It's
a wild experience. There's a crew of like 10 or 12 people that go out there every week, and they go out and round them up and, you know, sign up. Go on our website, hssaz.org, and look for our community cat program, and you can sign up to be a volunteer.
The other CCC.
That's right.
All right, not the Civilian Conservation Corps.
No. Community cat.
All right, let's go to break, visit some great sponsors. We're hanging out with Steve Farley from the Southern Arizona Humane Society. We're going to talk about the putting on the dogs coming back.
Oh, yes, it is.
Which is a very fun
bigger
event.
And better than ever.
So we'll talk about that. I want to hear the words biscuits and bourbon together.
Oh, yes.
I like it. So we'll be right back. If you have a question or comment for Steven, 790-2040. All right. It's been a hot and heavy show. We started with Grover Norquist at the beginning of the show. Then we went right to Dan Shearer of the Green Valley News. Joanne DiFilippo was here talking about what went down at the Pima County Board meeting, especially the fact that they don't have a budget and they're now going to push into the fiscal year with no budget. So I'm sure that'll all work out in the end, as Joe Higgins would say. And then I just saw the story yesterday that the state of Arizona, Stephen Farley, former legislator, they're finally starting a budget hearing on June 22nd.
And there's no guarantees they will finish that budget hearing.
What does that look like? What does that look at when they push it to the end? What does that last 10 days of that look like?
I've experienced going through July 1st. They literally cover up the clock in the chamber. And they declare that the day is continuing, regardless of whether or not it's past midnight. And sometimes that'll happen for a few days. They just will, instead of adjourning for the day, which would be the end of the legislative day, they
right.
simply recess. And that legislative day goes on indefinitely.
So we get to, so you're saying on June 30th, we
June
cover 30th the clock up.
Forever. It could be a Moody Blues song.
Or a sequel to Groundhog's Day with Bill Murray, right?
That too, yes.
June 30th.
So you never know. I mean, there's hope. Right now, there's a heck of a lot of arm twisting going on. The way I usually saw it was people would never take a hard position one way or another in the caucus until there's something moving on the floor. And then that creates the kind of pressure that the real torture can happen behind closed doors to try to bring people around to get on the budget.
Was there ever a situation where they had to come to a guy like you and the Republicans looking for your vote on a budget?
During the Medicaid expansion year.
Oh, yeah.
That was a very interesting time. So, yes, we were able to get some things going through that way to make that happen.
Gotcha.
I actually got more money for the state parks that year as part of the ask to be able to help with to get that through.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, there will be deals being made. There's all sorts of things happening. I mean, part of the way they seem to be doing it this way is primarily for parceling out road infrastructure.
Right.
Which isn't the worst thing you can parcel out.
Correct.
So at least there's going to be stuff getting done. One of the things they will be doing this year, hopefully if they get the budget through, is they're going to finally widen I-10 between Casa Grande and Phoenix, which is the most nightmarish snarl fests in the world.
Well, I saw that they're pushing all the trucks to the right lane now between Casa Grande and Phoenix that cannot go into the passing lane to try to bring a little...
Yep. Well, old Frank Antonori and I used to work together on that one to try to make that happen.
I remember.
Stayed across the way.
And then so, the Arizona Trucking Association
they want to use all the lanes. But Frank and I, I'm sure, Frank is very happy as I am to finally see that getting some clear lanes in the passing lane.
Talk about, we got the putting on the dog. I was all set. I had my top hat, my cane. I was going to go to the putting on the dog. And then, of course, lockdowns ruined that for a lot of things like that for everybody, but it's back.
Well, dust it off. We're back and bigger than ever. This is going to be at the El Conquistador again. It's going to be September 24th. It's going to be a fantastic time. The theme is biscuits and bourbon.
Love it.
And we're going to have all sorts of bourbon-related things happening there. There won't just be dog biscuits. There'll be human biscuits, too. We might even have biscuits and gravy. You never know.
I hope so.
But all sorts of great food will be happening up there, and you can bring your dog. That makes this the absolute most fun gala you can ever encounter.
Now, this makes me excited. Now, how about you can't bring a cat, though, right?
Cats wouldn't be really happy in that setting.
All right. That's perfect
with me.
So bring
your dog. This is a pretty much dog only event for the purpose of keeping the cat safe.
And if you have a dog named Bourbon, better.
That'd be fantastic. That'd be great. So yeah, definitely go to our website. You can already buy the tickets in advance. It's at hssaz.org, and you can click on the Bourbon and Biscuits banner we've got there and get that.
Looks like
that
a reserved. Saturday night.
Saturday night, no better place to spend it. September 24th at the El Conquistador up there in Oro Valley.
Live entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
Sit-down dinner, libations, special appeal for donations for the Second Chance Fund. What's the Second Chance Fund?
Second Chance Fund is when we have animals come in who are really in trouble, and they need some extra care to be able to get through. We know they can be amazing pets and find a fantastic forever home, but they need a little help up front to be able to get the treatment of whatever they're suffering from. So that's where the Second Chance Fund goes. We've got some amazing stories of things that that we've seen pets come in with, and what we've been able to do to be able to bring them back and healthy and happy and find a great home. So this enables us to support that. So it's for a great cause. It's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. And just getting back together in a gala like this after so many years is just fantastic. So we're really looking forward to that.
How's your Sarita Morano work going?
It's going great. You know, they used to be part of the PAC group, and then they decided they weren't getting the customer service they wanted. So they came to us, and we ended up giving them a deal. It was about 15% of what they were paying at PAC, and they have been happily ever after. We do all the sheltering for Sarita. We do all the sheltering for Marana, and it's working out great.
Yep.
And we're doing that for Cochise County now. We're going to be expanding into other shelters down there to make that happen. We're going to start to work with the Santa Cruz shelter.
You're really making it Southern Arizona.
Nogales too. Oh, yeah. We're serious about that name. There's a lot of need out there to be able to get things done. We're partnering with a lot of organizations to make that happen. A lot of people are stepping up, especially when we have the East Side full on as a shelter, not just the thrift store with some vaccination clinics and adoptions, but we're also going to have full admissions. We're going to have a full on shelter out there at 22nd and Wilmot once we get enough funding to be able to build the full thing.
So I gave you a bag of dog food. What else other than dog food can the Wakeys donate? I mean, money's great, but is there anything else in kind that you need?
Volunteers always in need. If you have it in your heart to be able to take in a foster, whether it's a behavior foster, they're a dog that just needs a break from the shelter, is a great dog, but they're just declining in the shelter over time. That's a fantastic thing to do. If you want to be able to foster kittens and be a bottle baby, a feeder where they're up every 2 hours to get a bottle. That's another thing that's hard to find, particularly this time of year. We really need that. If you want to walk the dogs at the shelter, they need a break.
Oh, that's good.
And it's a fun thing to do, and it really helps them get their behavior and gets them better off so they can find a better home.
I keep saying this. You guys need to be connecting with cardiologists and general practitioners for people who need to get off their butt.
Oh, yeah.
And they should say, here's your prescription. Go walk dogs at the Humane Society.
It's a great thing to do. Get on our website. Sign up.
All right, what's that website one more time?
HSSAZ.org.
All right, good seeing you, my friend.
Hey, great to see you too. Thanks much.
Steve Farley, they're one of our favorites, Southern Arizona Humane Society. Wake up.
By request for Brian, Little Al Stewart. Thanks, Brian.
I love that name. Mondo Sinistro. Hopefully that's not a bad word I said on the line. Okay. So just funny how things change, right? 13 years ago, Facebook memory. You ready? 13. First year of this show. Good interview with Steve Kozacik this morning, period. Gloria finally got her Fox pothole fixed. Check our photos. Podcasting coming in the next week or so, right?
Wow.
10 more days until we switch to 10:30 a.m. because we were originally on 690.
Correct.
And then Ray Carroll live tomorrow on Wake Up Tucson.
Don't miss it.
Like the freaking dark ages. Love it. I remember those.
Now
days.
We go to 11.
This one goes to 11. All right. We've had so many good conversations today. It's now time for the taps. This is the one my buddy Don always likes, the one I get in trouble the most, the tabs. This is fascinating stuff. Now, anyone from the city of Tucson, the Queen Mayor, Stevie K, Jeff Dahl, whoever you are, please turn away from the radio, okay? The Minnesota Supreme Court delivered a win Monday for a group of Minneapolis residents who have been suing over the influx of crime in their neighborhood following the defund police movement, ruling the city is not hiring the approximately 731 officers required under its charter. The 9-page order issued Monday by Chief Justice Lori S. Gilday stems from a lawsuit brought by a group of 8 Northside residents who sued Mayor Jacob Fry and the council for not fulfilling their obligation to fund and employ 0.0017 sworn officers per Minneapolis resident. Based on the 2020 census, they should have 731 officers. The ruling said that the city had followed through on allocating funding for 770, yet the numbers of officers on the force still sits well below the 731. As of late May of this year, the Minneapolis the Police Department had 621 officers on the payroll, including 39 on continuous leave of 2 weeks or longer, according to the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Since the death of George Floyd, they have lost 300 officers.
Wow.
Yep. So that means they had like 1,000 at one point, possibly. Well, I assume there's some net in there, so maybe they were up a little higher, a little lower than that. So this is a huge victory for our clients and the residents of Minneapolis. Now, first of all, I'm fascinated that the Minneapolis City Charter had an actual ratio of cops to residents.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
So I guess what I need to do for all of our people who have read or, you know, the City Charter of Tucson, what does it say? I know there can't be a ratio. That'd be unbelievable. But this happened because the residents sued the city. So is there, and look, Goldwater would love to sue the city. So here's precedent going on in Democrat-controlled Minneapolis that this is the Supreme Court of Minnesota, saying that you have to have proper police protection. So don't know if we can any meat on that bone here, but it did give me a little bit of hope. Just a wee little bit. Just a wee bit. So then I saw this story by Craig Smith from KGUN9, and it's talking about fuel prices squeeze police and fire departments. But for some reason, the only people he talked to was the Nogales police chief and the guy in Aravaca. I kind of wish I would have had an answer from someone around here. Call me crazy. But just for an example, the Nogales chief, Roy Bermudez, says that his cars burn 4,000 gallons a month. And they're currently getting charged $4.09 per gallon. Oof, that's a bargain, $4.09 right now. But he's up to $16,000 a month per car. Oh, his car's total. So $16,000 a month total in gas. This is for the Nogales police. What's ours?
I don't know, but I hope they have Gas Buddy. Or what is it? The upside app.
Because
then that would make the lady who says, you know, I made $200 this month, which apparently she drives 100,000 miles a month.
Remember we used to have bad commercials for people ride sharing together? Do you think this is a good time to do that? Maybe we should be carpooling together, right?
Not a bad idea.
So think about this. This is a real tough thing, right? So the city of Tucson and the county, right? They're huge environment. They always say they're for the environment, right? So this is I bet someone goes, you know something? Maybe we should start doing a thing at least with our employees, right? That we encourage them to carpool together.
Right.
Right. Save gas. Save your own.
Lead by example.
Lead by example, right? And then I thought about it. They can't do it. So this is what I see, right? They're all sitting around a table, right? One of the younger people who doesn't really know the game over there does something foolish and comes up with a good idea, right? And they say, hey, what if we did a carpooling thing, right? Maybe some PSAs, but also let's lead by example as a city and a county, right? And then who ruins it for them? Dr. Cullen. Whoa. You know, we got transmissions are up now. Right? We can't be putting four county employees in a car. Dr. Hines is running around. Super spreader. So we can't have carpooling because transmissions of, and especially since if they force most of their employees to get double, tripled, and quadruple vaxxed, they are now basically bigger carriers of the Omicron variant because basically they've taught their resistance in their body to take care of the coronavirus from a year and a half ago and not anything now.
you'd like double or quadruple your commute time, just verifying everybody's vaccination cards and everything.
Correct. So you got that's a problem. Then you might have male employees with low sperm counts in the cars because of the vax. So, all right, I can just see, you see that young employee's like, this is a great idea. And you see Cullen in the background going, can't do that. Can't do that. This is a Lori Honeycutt story in the Arizona Daily Independent News Network. Pro-choice advocates are hailing the Supreme Court's decision ruling in favor of parents of using state tuition assistance for religious schools. The ruling in Carson v. Malkin is seen as victory for the First Amendment. I apologize. Maine operates a tuition assistance program for high school students since more than half of its districts do not have a high school. However, Maine specifically excluded any type of sectarian school from that program. Because of this religious exclusion, families must either forego an education benefit, which is statutorily entitled, or send their children to a school that would not best meet their needs. And so anyway, if you're one of those public schools are the greatest thing ever and no one should ever go to a private or charter school, you hate this decision. Because you know what it is? Slippery slope. Slippery slope. Because the other phrase folks like that hate is backpack funding, where the money follows the kid. They hate it. You must come to TUSD. You must! And that's where we're at. So, anyway. I know we're all waiting for the this Dobbs decision on Roe v. Wade. You're the caterwauling, the gnashing, the wailing and gnashing of teeth that's going to happen here is going to be like you would never believe. So, let's go to break. 8:45 in the morning. Christy Simone. One of my favorite Springsteens. Off the old Born in the USA album, I believe. Little I'm on Fire. Here we go. I think I have a picture of Ed Alexander in the spandex pants and the same tank top that Billy Squire was wearing in this. I'll find it. With the glasses. Looks really good. It's like a mix of... Like a nerd version of Billy Squire. It's beautiful. It's hot. So you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. The National Bureau of Economic Research decided to do a study on the American Rescue Plan. Talking about
would this be an independent analysis?
Yes. So it talked about this is the multi-trillion-dollar economic stimulus package meant to jumpstart the economy, create and save jobs, combat inflation, they said originally.
Yeah, that one didn't age too well, did it?
Let me go back to the swordsman and Princess Bride. You keep using the word, but you don't seem to know what it means. Bob's back again. So anyway, how much did it cost for every... It says for every year of employment it saved, how much did it cost the American taxpayer? Right? So basically for a job, basically, right? The average job in America, you know, what does that pay? Probably $40,000, $50,000 a year, right? So to save that one job... that pays that, Matt. How much do you think it costs the federal government through this horse crap?
So is that a fraction or a multiple? Just to give me a little gauge.
It's a great question. Hold on. He gets a great question thing for that. It's a multiple.
2x. So 100,000.
I understand 2x.
Not for you.
Higher.
250,000.
Higher.
So we're at 50,000 is like we're saying is the average job.
Yep.
And let's say 8x. So let's say 400.
855,000.
Get out.
So we spent $855,000 to save 1 year of a job. Average job in America. Wow, it's inflation's transitory.
And we wonder why prices are going through the roof.
And again, so one of the listeners, when Joanne was talking about all that $30 million of CARES money and Fed money they were throwing around like drunk sailors at the counties, and he said, well, multiply that by all the other municipalities, right? And then I see an article this morning that there's a bunch of money that hasn't even hit yet. That's the other part that's scary about the inflation thing, right? Is you're literally here. This is, this was on Maria Mornings with Maria. Oh, Bill Hagerty, Republican from Tennessee, said, I spoke with a ranking member and said the several states received hundreds of billions of dollars in money, and he says the money hasn't even been appropriated yet. Wait till that hits the economy.
Just the theater of the absurd here.
You know, I want to speak some French.
Oui.
So thank you very much. Nailed it. You know, the other thing that we keep talking about, and it was another piece in CNN. This is by Henry Enten. And basically, he talks about, you know, we've had this discussion about how Hispanics, Juan Ciscomani mentioned it in the debate on Monday, that the Hispanic approval rating for Biden is at like 26% right now. We know a group, and we all talk about how Republicans need to embrace, again, that the values of the Republican Party really match up better with Hispanics. We just do a crappy job making the case and connecting, right? Pro-life, pro-family, very supportive of the freedom of religion, you know, pro small business, right? Such an entrepreneurial, hardworking group of humanity. But this is another one by this guy, Henry Enten, who works for CNN. Okay. Is Democrats are losing ground with the fastest growing political bloc. And you know what that is? That's Asian Americans. We had that one guy on last year. I forgot what his name was, but it was about how the Democrat Party really can't stand Asians. And he was Asian. Okay. And he's talking about the recall of Chesa Conover in San Francisco, the district attorney there. I said it again. Chesa Boudin, the recalled. I keep saying Conover. It's Chris.
Just an innocent slip of the tongue.
Chris, come on. Anyway, it talked about how national polling, right? The Pew Research Center shows that Biden's standing with Asians has dropped. He started with a 53% approval rating and 47%. And now he said he won Asian voters by 44. He won Asian voters by 44 points in 2020. But it sounds like that's, Pew's gave the Democrats had a 28% advantage among Asians on a ballot test. But then as they keep going down, it keeps dropping by 16% by what Biden won in 2020. And they talk about, well, you know, we saw the Asian American vote really come out hard is the mama bears, right? In Virginia, and talking about these schools that education is very sacred and very important to Asian families. Right? It is something that is very high on their priority list. And when they saw all the craziness going on in these schools, those Asian American mama bears, they were out there saying, we're not putting up with this crap. So anyway, Republicans, we'll talk about this with Shelley Keis tomorrow. She'll be on in the third hour. We'll talk about what we feel like the Republican Party's doing in relation to these demographics that are running away from the Democrat Party. So we'll do that with, we got Schweikert and Larson tomorrow. Remember, Friday is the big pizza summit. Pizza, we're going to talk pizza, eat pizza, how to cook it. We want your favorite spots, how you like cooking. We're going to do it all pizza on Friday.
Tossing dough in here.
So it's going to be really fun. Matt Russell sitting with us, McCluskey, Rocco, Susan from the Gluten Free Girls, Trident Pizza. Going to try to get a couple more pizza guys and girls in. So that'll be fun on Friday. And then Monday, Brother Joe, but we're going to do the Summer Forest Fire Hour with Dr. Neil. So lots of stuff going on. Yep. And then Tuesday, Gospel Rescue, Bruce Ash, Elaine Beck, Ted Maxwell, Pat from Sun Street on the 29th. And then on the 30th, Ed Alexander, History of Tucson Broadcasting with Dave Hatfield. My old, you know how you guys would always blame Doug Martin for putting me and Joe on the air? Blame Dave Hatfield for putting me and Joe in the Inside Tucson business. He's our old editor. So can't wait to see Dave on Thursday. So thank you, sir.
Have a great day.
Again, thanks to Grover Norquist, Joanne DiFilippo, Dan Shearer, and Steve Farley. And you, our wonderful listeners. See you in 21 hours.